This is Matt Grant, and you're listening to the Malware Report. On today's show, we have Randy Abrams. Hi, Randy. Thanks for being here.
Hi, Matt. Thanks for having me back.
There's a report out recently that shows that more than a million websites are believed to be infected with malware in the fourth quarter of 2010, which is pretty much double from fourth quarter of 2009. Wanted to get your thoughts on this report.
Well, it's interesting, and there's always the question of, did it actually increase that much, or are we just measuring it better?
Right.
And I suspect it's some of both, because typically it's a tedious process to get rid of infected websites. And so as infected websites get added to block lists by things like Google Safe Browsing and Internet Explorer and, you know, whatever the other browsers might be using, then they might not get taken down, but the bad guys are going to add additional websites. So, yeah, I would expect to see many, many more infected websites for the foreseeable future. I expect this kind of growth to continue until there's some major paradigm shift in the internet. It's just the nature of the beast. It's what the bad guys are going to do, is they're going to try to infect as much as they can. They'll come up with brand new websites. They'll infect existing websites.
Right. How much of it do you think is the infecting legitimate websites versus just being specifically malicious websites that people are directed to?
You know, I think the bulk of it is malicious websites. It takes a lot more work to infect legitimate websites.
Yep.
There's still a lot of room for typo squatting. So you can make a ton of legitimate websites that are close enough, you know, a ton of malicious websites that are close enough to legitimate sounding names that people are going to type in the wrong thing and get to them that way. You put up brand new websites to avoid the content filtering and change what's on existing search results, you know, that's part of the SEO that the black hats do. So yeah, they're still attacking legitimate websites, but it's a lot easier to make new malicious websites. And so that's where you're going to see most of the growth.
Do you think that people, I guess, are too trusting when they're on the web or searching for a particular item in Google and, you know, trusting those results, you know, or do you think that people are trying to be cautious where they go online?
You know, right now, I think probably most people are too trusting. And, you know, I'm not sure if trust is the right word. Oblivious might be a better word.
Yep.
You know, not actually looking at what the search result says in terms of the URL. I mean, it's one thing if you're searching for something and the title appears to be what you're looking for. It's another thing if the URL, the web page address, makes sense. You know, so if I'm looking for, you know, pharmaceuticals, it doesn't make sense that I end up on a church website. If I'm looking for religious information, it doesn't make sense that if I speak English only that I end up on some foreign language website.
Right.
That's probably not what I'm looking for. You know, so people really need to be aware, be mindful of where they're going, not just of what the title of the result says, but where it's taking them to as well.
Do you think that more and more the bad guys are targeting social networks to try to get these links pushed out and to get people to click on those sites and visit those sites as if they're coming from trusted friends?
Oh, absolutely. That, I mean, we've seen massive spam campaigns on Facebook.
You know, right.
The Coopface gang certainly isn't done yet. Facebook's doing a lot of work in their security department to try to shut that hole down, but it's not really possible. You can't have free speech without people cussing. Well, you can't have an open development platform like Facebook without people abusing it. That's what happens.
Right, exactly. And I guess in many of the ways, are these obvious when they're malicious sites? And if the user does end up on the sites, what should they do at that point? I mean, is there something that they have to do, or just by visiting, can they become infected?
Well, obvious really depends upon your education level.
Right.
I mean, there are sites that are going to be obvious to security experts that aren't obvious to newbies. There are going to be sites that an intelligent, rationally thinking newbie would recognize as being suspicious, where someone that had been on the net for a while but never paid attention wouldn't notice that there was a problem. Right. You know, in general, one of the most important things to do to protect yourself, aside from using antivirus software, of course, is to keep your operating system patched and up to date and keep your browser current and up to date. And all of your software actually needs to be up to date because a lot of these malicious sites have drive-bys. They'll take advantage of vulnerabilities in software where if you're not patched, you don't have a chance. You go to that website, you are infected, game over. If you're patched, you go to the website and it might want you to click on something, but you've taken away its ability to automatically infect your computer. So, you know, it's another defense in depth type approach. Use security software, keep your system up to date. And again, I do recommend going to www.secunia.com and running the personal system inspector or software inspector. Make sure all your stuff is up to date. And look at what you're clicking on. Does it actually make sense? Go beyond the title. Where is it taking you to? What's the web address? You know, get to understand that just a little bit, and it gives you a lot more protection.
No, absolutely good advice, Randy. And obviously, this is a problem for consumers, but how much of a problem is this also becoming for IT managers and businesses where employees are on the net all day doing their job and come across some of these malicious sites and, you know, impacting the network?
You know, it really depends upon the environment. In a shop that uses whitelisting, where, okay, you can only go to these approved websites, it's not such a big problem, but that requires a ton of work, you know, to keep the whitelist up to date, to implement it in the first place, things like that. Companies that use blacklisting, where, okay, you can't go to these websites, it's somewhat of a problem still. It's not as big a challenge as it is for companies where everything's wide open, but you know, I haven't heard that it changed, but when I worked at Microsoft, it was wide open. I could go to pretty much any website I wanted to.
Right.
So, and, you know, that's a big challenge for the security people, at least it was when I was at Microsoft, to try to defend the network with that much openness. And believe me, not everyone that works at Microsoft is a computer expert, much less security expert, but even a computer expert. There are a ton of jobs at Microsoft that do not require computer expertise. I mean, you have to be able to use Outlook and probably Word and Excel, things like that. But, you know, you don't have to be a programmer. There's a ton of jobs that are not programming jobs at Microsoft. So
right.
At ESET, for those of us that are not on the research network, well, I'm on research, but the other employees in general are restricted in terms of what sites they can go to. So it still can be a bit of a challenge for our IT professionals to try to defend the network. And it's, as you might guess, extremely important for a security company to keep their network clean. But it's not as difficult as it would be if everyone was allowed to go everywhere. So, you know, it really depends upon what your business is, who the employees are, what their skill levels are, and then how much latitude you give the employees as to how difficult it's going to be to protect against these malicious websites.
Well, Randy, thanks so much for taking the time to chat with us today about this topic. If you have any additional questions for Randy, feel free to email him at askeset@eset.com. You can also follow ESET on Facebook. This has been Matt Grant, and you're listening to the Malware Report.